Hi, I'm Dan Dietrich, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. I've been teaching on biblical principles of child rearing. Last Sunday, I taught about the indoctrination of children with the Hebrew method of teaching, which came to be known as the Shema. We looked at Deuteronomy 6 and saw that parents were to teach God's commandments, statutes, and judgments to their sons and their sons' sons. We saw how successful this system was by looking at the stories of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, and David. Today, I hope to explain to you the value of the commandments, particularly the Ten Commandments, in your home and in the lives of your children. When we look at the Ten Commandments as a unit of basic theology, we get the right view of God, the right view of man, the right view of society, and the right view of ethics. Unfortunately, we live in a day and age when many reputable Bible teachers declare that the law is not binding on men in this dispensation of grace. They pit the dispensation of law against the dispensation of grace. They make law the enemy of grace, and they brand anyone who presses the claims of God's law against the conscience of man as a legalist. The truth is, we need a revival of the scriptural view of the law. Paul said the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good, Romans 7 and verse 12. He said later, the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. We need to understand that the law expressed God's love to mankind. The scripture says the Lord came from Sinai with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. Deuteronomy 33, verses 2 and 3. Notice there the correlation between God's fiery law and his love for the people. From the human side, love is the fulfilling of the law, Romans 13 and verse 8. From the divine side, the love of God provided the law to mankind for his own good. In giving the law, God caused man to see his sovereign authority. He made man see the necessity of his universal government in the affairs of mankind. The laws of the Decalogue are the same as the laws of conscience that were manifested in Eden. They are as binding today as they have ever been. It's interesting to note, the Jews said that the law was not given in Palestine, but in the wilderness, and therefore it is for all the nations, not just the Jews. The law is binding because the Creator has the right and the authority to govern His creation and His creatures. It's a spirit of lawlessness that resists the responsibility of every creature to obey His Master. The law is permanent. The commandments have never been repealed. They were engraved in stone, not in parchment, symbolic of the permanent nature of the law. The commandments are as necessary today as ever. Listen, human nature is unimproved after 6,000 years of history. We orbit the earth, communicate through air and light waves, transplant hearts, but we still lie, steal, kill, and commit fornication just as in the days of Noah. The Lord Jesus honored and obeyed the commandments, Matthew 5 and verses 17 and 18. He and the apostles repeated all of them in the New Testament with the exception of the fourth commandment. Jesus spent the first third of the Sermon on the Mount moving the emphasis of the Old Testament commands from actions to attitudes, from outward conformity to internal principle. And the apostles certified the commandments in their preaching, teaching, and writing. Paul quoted five of the commandments, of which love is the fulfilling, Romans 13. And in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, being not without the law to God, but under the law of Christ. Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments into two. He said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In so doing, he formed two tables of law, the Godward commands and the manward commands. Now, we've spent several minutes explaining the value of the commands as they relate to mankind in general. Now, I want to show you how it is exactly that they relate specifically in the rearing of godly children. First of all, the commandments are largely prohibitive. 8 of the 10 are prohibitive, but each one has a positive context. Commandment number 1, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's a negative, but the positive context is that the redeemed are monotheists. Jehovah is their exclusive one and only God. Commandment number 2, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Now that's a negative, but the positive context is the redeemed worship God in spirit and in truth. Commandment number 3, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Again, that's a negative, but the positive context is that a redeemed worship God in reverence and respect and wear his name, if you will, as a badge of identification. Commandment number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The positive aspect, the redeemed treat the Lord's day with holiness, demonstrating the lordship of Christ by giving him the first day of each week. And commandment number 5, honor thy father and thy mother. The redeemed recognize parents as the chiefest teachers of God's instruction and as God's deputies in the home. Moving to the second table of the law, commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill. Now that's a negative, but the positive context is the redeemed honor the sanctity of human life. Commandment number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. That too is negative, but the positive context is the redeemed honor the sanctity of marriage and of the home. Commandment number 8, thou shalt not steal. Again, that's a negative, but the positive context is the redeemed honor the sanctity of property. Commandment number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's a negative, but the positive context is the redeemed honor the sanctity of truth. And the final, the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, that too is a negative, but the positive context is that the redeemed value and honor the sanctity of conscience, and they are to be satisfied with and grateful for the provisions that God has made for them. Now these commandments also are the seed plots of all basic theology. From them we develop the doctrine of God, His sovereign decrees, His providential government, the essential unity of the Trinity, the demand for undivided worship. From them we further develop the doctrines of the attributes of God, His omniscience, His omnipresence, His omnipotence, His eternality, His immutability or His unchangeability. From them we develop doctrines of His righteousness, holiness, justice, goodness, love, grace, and mercy. We also develop the sense of His retribution, that is, that there are consequences for violating His commands. From these commandments, we develop the doctrine of worship, what is acceptable worship to God, and that imposters pay a price. From these commandments, we develop the doctrine of man. We see his spiritual needs, and they're met by periodic worship. We see his psychological needs, and they are met by periodic rest. And his economic needs, and they are met by productive labor. We develop the doctrine of the home and a reverence for authority, parental, religious, and civil. And from these commands, we develop the doctrine of life, which is expanded to laws concerning murder, assault, kidnapping, and abortion. From these, we develop the doctrine of marriage, from which we deduce the fearful sacrilege of conjugal relationships outside the bonds of holy matrimony, and the wicked sin of alienation of affection of one who's already bound in marriage. From these commandments, we develop the doctrine of property and certain inalienable rights, which we'll address more in a moment. Rights such as time, money, opportunity, ideas, conscience, and reputation. We further develop the doctrine of truth in our communications. From these commandments, we derive the principle of the criminality of duplicity or slander. From these, we also develop the doctrine of walking in the Spirit, that is, contentment in Christ, satisfaction with such things as you have, a grateful spirit, not only for my blessings, but for the prosperity of our neighbors. The positive context of the commandments actually forms the basis not only for the laws of this nation, but for the foundation of the character of its citizens. It's mandatory that our children have an understanding of these laws, for them to have an understanding of our God, of His nature, and of His expectations for all mankind. These form the foundation of godly Christian character, and godly Christian character is the backbone of this nation. Not only do these commandments form the foundation of godly Christian character, but they form the Bill of Rights, too. The fact that God gave us these commandments means that all civil government has the responsibility to ensure the freedom to obey them. Hence, we have the right to the exercise of free religion, the right to raise our children according to the commands of Scripture, The right to life, the right to marriage, the right to property, the right to a just and honest hearing and trial, the right to obey the dictates of our conscience as long as it's educated by the Bible and not distorted with sin. Finally, why did God make 8 of the 10 commandments prohibitive in nature? In other words, why are they told to us 8 times out of 10 in a negative context? Well, they reflect the covenant status of the redeemed. Israel as a nation was considered to be God's peculiar people. For them to violate these positive principles and to commit these sins was to betray their covenant relationship. Betraying the covenant relationship put them in the place of cursing and not blessing. We must come to learn that these are non-optional principles. And that's why the Hebrew Shema had Jewish boys and girls repeating these commandments distinctly and without slur a minimum of 4 times daily. That's why they wrote them on their wrists and foreheads and doorposts and gates. That's why they wore them like a chain around their neck and a bracelet around their wrists. That's why they studied them and memorized them and meditated upon them and practiced them. And that's why, my friend, if you would raise good children, these commandments will of necessity become your standard operating procedure manual. Everything else, every other principle of character you teach your children will originate from these 10 principles. They identify each man's rights and each man's responsibilities, and the violation of them becomes each man's sin. So why don't you get started teaching them to your children today? Have them memorize them and meditate them and repeat them to you until they become second nature to them. These commands will become the foundation of their character in days and weeks and months and years to come. Start today. Don't delay another minute. Until next Sunday, God bless you and have a good week.
Been listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri, with Pastor Dan Dietrich. If this program has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website at www.fbcwayland.org or by giving us a call at 660-754-6312. Or by dropping us a line at P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri, 63472. My friend, it's not yet 9 o'clock, and you still have time to get to church this morning. So why don't you decide right now that today you're going to make it to church? If you don't have a church home, let me invite you to visit us here this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an 1/8 mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website, www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.